Hello and welcome to the post game. We just told a story based on the prompt, powerful swift herd animals that roam the open plains. Never really cracked into that one with that story,
yeah,
did we?
Yeah, we didn't. We just
left that pretty open, but managed to tell a pretty good one all the same. Let's talk about that story. Powerful swift herd animals.
I think the Swedish raptor represented the way that passion can unravel
come out
your
of nowhere. And just...
I want to say first and foremost, Mike, when you were like talked about Sweden and mentioned the cousin, and I was immediately like about to jump in and be like who he was in love with.
Okay. Yeah, I don't me know too. Why. I was like, I think all of us were on that same page immediately.
That's great.
Yeah, I felt like you were reading my mind.
What's your cousin's name, Ben?
That has nothing to do with it, okay?
Yeah, I read your mind. I couldn't make out the name, but I was reading your mind. I was like, whoa.
Strong signal.
I mean, that was the kind of thing that felt like it could have been a little bit, you know, flip or, you know, played for more humor than we played for. But I thought that was really like endearing that he grappled with that. I really enjoyed moving back and forth between the bison related scenes and his memories of Sweden. I thought that was just kind of a fun way to get at what was going on.
I agree. The parallel stories was kind of a new thing for us. I thought that was fun.
A same page moment for me was like when he was in the back of the truck, I was going to have him call Layla. I was going to have him be like, God damn it. We're meant to be together. And here I am with a crazy wild beast on a truck. Like if she could see me now, and he would like pop open a video chat with Layla and just be like, check it out. And then we go from there. It was kind of what I was thinking.
So how was that a same page thing? Because that didn't happen.
Well, just same page that because he was on the back of the truck and then some phone thing. I think Green texted him or something.
Uh-huh.
Like it was okay. The same kind of like cell phone ex machina like moment happened.
Okay.
At the same time that I was thinking of a similar thing.
Did you just make up the phrase cell phone ex machina?
Yeah.
Well, I was going off of Mike's Deus ex machina bear edition.
but I think that's. I mean, in so many movies, and I mean, that's so contemporary. That's a brilliant turn of phrase.
Well, thanks. I'm an improver.
You're welcome. Well done. I'll jump a little bit forward here. I thought we might not have time to do it, but I had a little bit of a, he was going to tell Layla that it wasn't going to work out and he was over or whatever. And then she would have second thoughts once he actually sort of fell in love with Green, so that there would be some hint that that she actually was like coming back around, and then he was going to be really conflicted about what to do.
Yeah. I thought the same thing, or that maybe Greenst was like doing it to be mean and, or like, you know, manipulating somehow or whatever. But yeah, I'm glad that it was innocent all around.
Any patterns? So we had animals and, which is a motif, from a lot of our stories.
It was right there in the prompt, so that one's not our fault.
Well, that's they just, did. The prompt didn't make them intelligent.
The prompt didn't make them.
We saved that for the very end, though. I gotta say, I'm really glad that was Drew who brought into that interspecies communication that was so artfully done. Really.
I had half a mind that he was going to have the motorcycle accident and then they were going to come and they were going to trample the motorcycle and then walk away. Like that's what they were actually chasing or afraid of or whatever. I was really unclear. Like when he jumped on the motorcycle and was like peacing out, I was like, all right, where now? Like, is he, is he getting to the facility? Are the bison going to counterattack? Like,
I think it was Ben. This was a hilarious moment to me where I think she had the sample and it was like, we have to get it to the center. And I think Ben, out of nowhere, I think you said, you got to take the bike.
That was Mike. But I loved that moment.
So hilarious and specific and evocative and unexpected. I loved that.
I could picture it. I pictured the inside of that clinic really vividly. And then like, I almost described the motorcycle in detail, which I'm glad I didn't, because I would have fallen apart because I don't know enough about them. But there's like it has kind of a bulbous
thorax.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Wait,
so you're going to try now?
And that's what the post game is for.
It's some saddlebags, yeah. You know, and like it's one of these like you.
Is it like a mustard yellow?
More
kind
cruiser.
Of?
He's sitting back with big handlebars. He's not
well,
on like a dirt
it's
bike.
It's more like a military one where it's got like fat tires. It doesn't have a big.
It's a Dnieper.
Okay.
I was thinking dirt bike, Drew. That's where I was. Like kind of rust colored or mustard colored dirt bike.
That's what like, you would have if for getting around on the plains. Like you'd probably have something.
That's a cool image too. A real whiny one, yeah.
Yeah, Casey, this is a little bit of a rose not taken thing to me. I was kind of thinking, I was like, all right, he's heading out on the dirt bike. We either got to wrap this up or we're into like another 45 minutes here. So I think I was imagining something like he's having this incredible moment on the plains and he calls up Greenst or Layla. I didn't know who, but you know, he's having this kind of moment, or he's just he's like let go of the Layla thing and he's in love with Greenst and he was just going to have some big celebratory, like I'm cruising. I've got a purpose and I'm cruising across and I'm alive and I'm happy and I'm free and just sort of like some kind of moment like that, that got us to closure. But then the bison got it. I think it was appropriate we needed something more to
contain
it. The bison.
And to contain it in this like general geographical area.
And I think we needed to like, we'd invested enough in the bison following them and like caring about that, didn't think we could just leave. I was glad that you kept that alive.
My girlfriend is currently in Sweden and goes to Sweden a lot. And so I had to resist like pulling out a lot of like Swedish stuff. I was not able to resist knowing the time zone difference. But
I was
really impressed. I was like, that was just like Casey to know something random crap
some
like
random
that.
Thing about Swedish time zones.
I had a real life influence too, which was the worm wrestling, which is a game me and my cousins used to play.
I had a feeling.
That was awesome.
That was not an invention.
Wait, you and your cousins, you said?
Oh, yeah.
What were their names, Ben?
Doesn't matter. Not important.
Not relevant to the conversation.
They're all dead to me.
Who's your Greenst?
Yeah. I let them down easy, okay?
When Eric was on the phone with Layla at the end, which I'm really glad that happened too. Instead of just riding off into the sunset, that he closed it off with her. I was actually if I had been the one talking then, I would have had him like really mature and like apologized. I know that made you uncomfortable, blah, blah, blah. I'm really glad that he didn't get
he
that
wasn't
far.
Quite there. He wasn't there
right,
yet.
Yeah. It was more like, that kind of, breaking up with her as if she were invested. I like that.
Yeah.
Greenst, Greenst.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. 444 on Greenst. Layla, Layla.
Yeah.
Yep.
Leilah.
What?
Leila. No H. We never named the mom, but
yeah.
I saw her pretty vividly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked her.
Oh, did you? Right up until you trampled her with bison.
She reminded me of my cousin.
Trampled by bison is the only way someone like that can go, though. Like she can't.
Good point.
So, before we wrap up, were there any earlier idea? I didn't really like. One of our goals as storytellers is to pretty early on see where these different pieces could lead us, you know, and then we start going there and then we have to give up on it usually because the story goes somewhere else and then we find a new ending. Anyway, early on, I mean, I wasn't able to do that for a long time. It's like, all right, they're putting the bison on the thing and he's in love with so-and-so. And like, did you have any early inklings about where this would go?
I felt like the dramatic tension for me was between kind of him, like it's a bit of a coming of age story and for between him being a responsible adult and like actually helping his mom and then being kind of in a fantasy land with his like Swedish lovers.
So, but also like, but also growing up on that front too. Like yes. He kind of matured in that realm also, which I thought was kind of nice.
It's kind of so fun. It's kind of fun to tell these ridiculous stories and then pick them apart like a high school English class or something.
Yeah, I feel this. It's a little bit like you could almost see it like it was trying to tell you this, right?
If it was rewritten three times, then...
I did feel that's kind of what we were naturally doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Was like, he was a little sort of like, whatever, I'm just kind of helping my mom. And then he had more responsibility and he was paying more attention and there was the focus thing. And then he also was trying to sort out the relationship thing. So yeah, I think it did kind of happen.
So I agree with that. Yeah, I don't mean to suggest that gravity isn't real just because it was a goofy story, but yeah.
So he...
I think I envision a little more of him and his mom, like having some kind of tension or something they needed to figure out. She kind of ended up being sort of a background, you know, decoration, but,
we probably could have done a little bit more with him being distracted and like messing stuff up early on and then, you know, getting better and succeeding where he failed earlier.
Yeah. In the rewrite, we could beef that up so that the epilogue where he takes over the liver business means more. So what does it mean though that like he didn't complete the mission? You know, the bison reclaimed the sample.
Well, he's not a man yet, I guess.
He's got still room to grow.
Because I was
room to grow both on that and with the whole thing with Layla, right? Like he was still flawed.
Which I like. I was kind of angling towards a like his phone is distracting him, but he realizes he does need to focus to if he's going to get the sample there, and then he gets the sample there, and then he calls Greenst and says but. I kind of like him not getting all the way there. I feel like that's maybe too abrupt of a maturation for him, and I like him as kind of a dumbass.
We just can't resist
the
like
goofy
nature kind of taking like having their own agenda and like scoring some points. You know, we can't. We're very sensitive. We'll sacrifice a mom and make her background, but if there's an animal character, like
for a second,
they have to have a voice.
This isn't where I was going with it, but for a second, I thought, Mike, that you were kind of like angling towards like the bison know that the bike won't get there fast enough, so they're going to take the sample to the lab themselves. And I was like, okay.
I thought a little bit of like that they were escorting him. That was something that I had kind of imagined.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that would have been a good option.
Like bison charging some, there were so many like unrealistic bison things in it, but like once he crashes on the motorcycle, the fact that they just sort of encircled him and like didn't just immediately murder him on the ground, it was funny.
Well, they wanted, you know, they wanted their intact liver sample back
for some reason.
They needed that jar. Mike, to answer your question, I don't think I really saw a conclusion until we kind of like were getting to the clinic or got to the clinic where I felt like, all right, there's going to be something about this supplanting of relationships and like something resolving that. But I was kind of along for the ride. I was having a hard time seeing an ending.
I think I'm thinking through the first few minutes and what we were putting on the table. And I do think the love story with Layla there was that story. And then, you know, the bison thing, which is like their work day, you know? So of the two, the Layla one was the one that had the most opportunity for development, you know, like, so for that makes sense that, we put so much into that and added some intrigue to the love story. And the other thing is with what they were doing with the bison, like we put so much detail around that, loading it in and yada yada, like something has to go wrong with that in order for it to be worthwhile. So, you know, and the only other thing we had on the table was more bison. So them interfering and, you know, I think that's...
It's kind of maybe like a side theory here is like we have an intention of telling stories that are a little more contained and not as sort of sprawling and random. So we have sort of less raw materials, which for me makes it a little harder to like conceive of neat and tidy endings to things or like logical flow. You know, if there's like 20 characters and 3 different or 5 different scenes, you have a lot more options to be like, oh, okay, so his motivation is this and he's going to end up that way. And in these stories, it's, you have to do a little more legwork, I think, to be like, we've got this character who has
there were hundreds of bison, that he Casey, needs to figure out. They all had their own agenda.
They all have personalities and backstories. We did like, have the middle the big one. That was
yeah, the
big
middle,
one.
The middle bison.
Yeah, Casey, I think that's probably true. Where it's like we historically have depended on the mass of narrative fodder in a way to like the kind of narrative sprawl cornucopia that we've created, and it is a little more challenging to find something satisfying if we're operating with a more narrow palette of stuff that we're kind of allowing ourselves.
But if anyone
so
can
just
do
leave
it,
like 100 things unresolved or untied up when you've got 200 things.
Right. So yeah, I mean, we're doing it. We're trying to have fewer elements so that we don't have so many loose ends, but then we just have to make the most of those things, I guess, yeah, is the pressure.
I really love it. And it ties into something I wanted to give you props for, Drew, is that you described this moment where when he made eye contact with Layla when they were skinny dipping, then she looked over at Greenst. And I had that moment already in my mind. Like I was like, I was like, yes, that's it. That's exactly what happened. Yeah. I do feel like with the type more contained stories though, there's like more of that. Like I'm feeling more of that synchronicity where I'm like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Like, oh, like I like they feel that inevitability, right? That like feeling of like, oh yeah, that's inevitable. That's what should happen or should have happened.
It was
or,
the dog that scratched on the grave.
Yeah, exactly. They're with me. They're with me on this one.
We're all thinking the same thing, and that's why Casey chooses to divert from it.
It's much easier for him to divert from what everyone's thinking rather than just one person.
So before we go, Drew, did you know why I made a thing out of like, she confirmed that it had the disease like in the clinic. She had a sample, but like, cause usually a biopsy is like, you send it away to pathology. You never get an answer. It's like, even, you know,
yeah,
when you take part of my kidney and I'm in,
yeah,
you know,
in my so mind, the liver virus had like evident, you know, she could see like the, you know, the holes in the liver or whatever, you know, visibly. From the virus, but she could.
It's got telltale features that you can see in the chunk, huh?
Or yeah,
right, I guess I was.
I don't know how she got
short.
The chunk, but it, let's say it was endoscopic, and she's looking around and she's like, "Oh yeah, the virus has started, but
it's inflamed
hasn't
in this way." Yeah. Like, so sorry, Mike. Was there something I did, or was that in response to something I had said?
Is you that said what you're that asking? She confirmed that this animal had the disease,
right?
And I thought, oh, usually don't know that. Right when you get the sample, you have to like a real lab has.
Well, I think that was before we knew that the sample. That was before the sample was a thing, right?
I think it was after I said that.
Mike's just saying,
biopsy.
Like the next thing Mike said was like she knew that it was like that because she had analyzed it with some equipment in the lab. Or he was just wondering if you had noticed the fact that he had.
No,
just,
I said biopsy, and then you said,
yeah,
it has the disease. I'm pretty sure of that.
Okay.
So just watch that next time. If we do another biopsy.
Yep.
I'm glad I spaced out all the technical talk in the clinic. I totally
you were just,
like
you were just thinking
that out.
About
it was really elaborate
thinking about Yep.
Anytime we got too technical, we were Eric's mom, and you were
back
worm
in Sweden
wrestling with your
cousins.
Back in the fjords.
Worm wrestling. Was it worm wrestling?
Worm wrestling.
All
that
right.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we highly recommend that, listener. That's the post.
Find
game.
A cousin, get some sleeping bags,
make some memories.
Communicate clearly. Make sure everyone's on the same page.
Understand everybody's handwriting. So that, you know what you're getting into and you know what's coming. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Baderson.
Baderson out.
Baderson out.